Good day. My name is Michelle. I'm speaking to Robert McGregor from Ceres. It is the end of July and they have published their growth outlook. But today, Robert and I will chat a little bit around the definition of growth and that growth doesn't always mean the same and that it goes through phases. Thank you very much, Robert. Let's start off with, where do you think is the common misconception on growth, or is there something that we might not always see or understand?
Hi, Michelle. So yeah, we often talk about growth. Everyone publishes their growth forecast and expectations. And at the moment, everyone's a lot more optimistic, sort of saying things are getting better. But I think a lot of people, especially sort of, you know, your man on the street, struggles to reconcile this with what they feel. Everyone is saying things are looking up, growth is improving, or we've got nice growth, but it doesn't feel like that for everyone. And so I think, you know, it's important to bear in mind that economic growth tends to move in different phases, different cycles. And in these different phases and cycles, it has different impacts, for instance, on employment, on wages and incomes and similar. And I think, you know, we sort of need to be better at communicating what that means.
Yeah. So in other words, coming out of, and I'm using the words coming out of the slump of the last 10 years, obviously then the base is also low. So percentages might look high, but the actual impact is not necessarily always that significant. Is that right?
Definitely. So, I mean, if you start digging into some of the numbers, I mean, only sort of in our GDP data, we measure, I think it's around 17, 18 different sectors. Only around 6 or 7 of them are really anywhere above where they were, you know, sort of pre-COVID. A lot of them are still struggling. And what we see at the moment is the economy is still in this very sort of early phase recovery. It's the early stages, you know, you're sort of in first gear trying to move along. And that growth tends to be highly concentrated. You know, when we talk about specs of growth, it's small areas here and there. You're sort of early movers. And at the moment in Namibia, many of those are sectors that are sort of a bit more capital intensive, for instance, your mining sector. And that's not a sector that is massive in terms of employment growth. The sort of wider benefits from this tend to come much later when, you know, businesses have had a time to invest and are starting to grow. Their profits are looking better. And so they feel more confident. They hire more people. They do higher wage adjustments. And then that starts phasing through into wider benefits for the economy and the man on the street.
So mining has always been Namibia's story, and it is also looking forward, especially with oil and gas, still the promise of where growth will come from. Now, growth and job creation, which is at the moment a burning point, with the labor force increasing a lot every year. And we all know about the struggle of young graduates not getting jobs. What has sort of been the history of mining and job creation? I mean, you now said that it doesn't always create that many jobs. And looking forward now with oil and gas as well, what can we expect to happen to the creation of new jobs?
Yes, I mean, mining is the backbone of this economy. And I think it will still be for a while longer. But I think what's important to bear in mind is sort of on a relative basis, mining, for instance, tends to be more capital than labor intensive compared to some other industries. As a sector, it is a decently large employer. It pays very good average wages compared to most other sectors in the economy. But I think that the challenge that we face is that especially the younger you are, the more likely you are to be unemployed. That's what we see in the labor force data, even if it is 7 or 8 years old. With the situation the economy has faced over the last 10 years, I mean, businesses haven't been growing, haven't really been employing. And we sit with this challenge of, it's not just that we already sit with high unemployment. And so we need to create more jobs to allow those unemployed people to become employed and have, sort of a decent wage. But over and above that, the labor force is growing every year. The census data shows us that we've got an incredibly young population with our population pyramid has a very heavy base. And so each year, in addition to the number of unemployed people there already are, there are more and more young people entering the labor force. So we need to be at a stage where this economy is creating jobs faster than effectively we've got people entering the labor force just to start ticking away at those unemployment numbers. And that's going to be a long challenge. That's not something we're going to see very quickly And it's not something we're going to see in this sort of very early stage recovery. Now, with the promise around our extractive industries, I think the quantum of money that's potentially involved in this is something that I don't think many of us are prepared for or even fully understand. But I think the benefits tend to be not in the direct employment in these industries. There is some, yes, but it's more things that move down in the second order from these. These industries, whether it be oil and gas or mining or others, they depend on other industries in Namibia, whether it's for logistics, accommodation or trade, you know, your financial services and similar. It's much broader. The construction that results from these, that tends to absorb more of the labor. And that's where we expect to see some of the improvement come from over the longer term.
Yeah. Yeah. With having fear now and being in trouble for touching on the sensitive topic of GDP as a measure of growth, I mean, maybe just take us through the link also to the fiscus and revenue to the fiscus. I mean, growth doesn't necessarily translate into more money for government.
It largely depends. I mean, so with sort of real GDP growth, we're trying to determine, you know, is there more domestic value addition taking place? Are we being more productive, whether it's with the same amount of resources or more within the country? I think sort of the big thing for us is that economic growth and sort of government's revenues do tend to be linked, whether it's from an employment side, from an employer side, from a business side, whether it's mineral outputs or similar. Those tend to result in some level of revenues for the fiscus. From minerals, if we're pulling out more minerals, it's generally because the mines are more profitable. They're paying more royalties because it's a top-line tax that translates to the fiscus. If the economy is growing and people are spending more money, it's either because there's more people employed, and so we tend to see that in sort of maybe your VAT or your pay-as-you-earn figures, or we're doing more trade, we're importing and exporting more, which will reflect in the SARCA revenues and similar. But it doesn't mean that it's going to be better for everyone and that it's going to be better immediately. Again, we are still at sort of very early stages of this economic growth cycle. And again, GDP is a measure. It's a certain tool. You know, there's a definition for it. And often people try and apply GDP to other stuff and say, yes, but it doesn't account for this. It doesn't measure that. And that's fair. But again, you know, it's a tool used for a certain purpose. If you start trying to apply it to other measures, it's not going to give you exactly what you want, and therefore it isn't an appropriate measure for that sort of stuff.
Yeah, no, that's a fair comment. Okay, I think unfortunately that's all we have time for today. Thank you very much for talking to me. Always educational. And yeah, I mean, the country is sort of at a tipping point when it comes to the employment crisis, I want to call it. So let's where this ends up at, and thanks for talking to me.
Thanks for having me again.